The Bible uses many pictures to describe the nature of the church. The Bible calls the church a body, the body of Christ. The Bible calls the church the bride of Christ. The Bible calls the church a flock of God, like a flock of sheep. And the Bible calls the church an army of God. But my favorite description of the church in the Bible is where the Bible calls the church a family. We are the family of God. In Ephesians 2:19, it says this: "Now you are no longer strangers to God and foreigners to heaven, but you are members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian." The Bible says we are members of the family of God. That is a vital part of what it means to be a Christian. Another verse, Romans 12:5, says, "In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Did you hear that? Each member belongs to all the others. This is the next level of commitment that we lead people to after they become Christians. First, you become a Christian by committing yourself to Christ. But then you become a member of a church family by committing yourself to other believers. This is the next step in your maturity as you begin to grow. And as Christian leaders and as church leaders, we must teach people that they must not only be committed to Christ, but they must be committed to His family, His body, the church of God. Now, how does that take place? How do you lead people from just attending a church to actually becoming a vital part, a member, in vital union with other believers? How do we lead people to move from just being committed to Christ to also being committed to His family and to other Christians in the body of Christ? I'd like to give you some suggestions today about how you might do this. In the first step, you've got to start with the leader. And I suggest that you create a climate where people want to be a part of your church family. What is it that creates that climate? What is the atmosphere that causes people to say, "I don't want to just be an attender of this church, but I want to be a member, a part of the family of God"? Well, there are two things that people crave most in life. They crave love and they crave acceptance. Those are two of the deepest needs that human beings have. We need love and we need acceptance. Now, amazingly, these are the two things that the Bible says the church is supposed to offer. In John 13:35, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love for one another." The hallmark of being a Christian is that we are to love not just God, but we're to love each other. We are to be as committed to each other as we are to Jesus Christ. That is the true essence of fellowship. And fellowship is one of the five purposes of the church. The Bible also says in Romans 15:7, "Accept one another just as Christ has accepted you." And as Christ has offered us grace and has unconditionally accepted us into His family, we are to unconditionally accept others into the family of God. And we are to love the brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible says, if I say I love God and I don't love my brother, I'm lying and the truth is not within me. So we want to create an atmosphere where love and acceptance dwell. Growing churches love and loving churches grow. And if you want your church to be healthy and to grow, you have to set it up where it acts like a family, not like a business, not like a club, not like some other kind of organization or institution, but the church is a family. Now, let me talk to those of you who are pastors and elders and church leaders for just a second. Let me give you some specific ways that you can create this family spirit within your church family. First, genuinely care about people and show it. Be expressive in your love. It's no wonder that some churches don't grow, because the pastor or the church leaders act cold toward not just visitors, but also to the actual members of the church. If you want to know the warmth of your church, then you put the thermometer in your own mouth. You check it out and see what your own personal temperature is. Many church leaders, by their very actions and the way they treat people, guarantee that people won't want to be a part of the church because they're not very loving. You can be approachable and be real. Let people get to know you as a church leader. And another thing you can do to warm up the atmosphere of your church is to memorize names. Learn the names of the members of your church and greet them by name. Nothing makes people happier than for them to have their own name called out by you, especially when they've only come to church for a few times and you get to know them. I think you should make the habit of personally greeting people before and after each service and let them know that you love them and that you're interested in their lives and caring for them. And then touch people with a Christian touch. You know, the Bible says to greet one another with a holy kiss. And most cultures don't do that anymore, but I do know that there is power in touching people, a handshake, a hug, a pat on the back. Sometimes when I give an expression of love to someone at our church, a member, not knowing whether they've had a tough week or not, a difficult week with problems, I often wonder, how long has that got to last, that person, that expression of love? I've had people tell me, you know, Pastor, the only physical affection, touching, hugging, you know, encouraging words are the words that and the expressions of love that I get at church each Sunday. You will set the tone as a leader. And if you create a climate of fellowship, then other people are going to do it too. Now, the second thing you can do to cause people to want to be a part of your church family is to communicate the value of it. Communicate the value of being a part of the family of God. You see, as I said, the difference between being an attender of a church and being an actual member of the church congregation is the difference between a commitment and non-commitment. The more committed you are to God's family, the more mature you're going to grow. The Bible says Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. And the more you grow as a Christian, the more you're going to love the church and the more you're going to be committed. Anytime you meet someone who says, oh, I'm a Christian, but I don't need the church, you can know they're not very mature. Jesus thought the church was important enough to die for. He said he gave his life for it. And if we consider it important, we're going to be that committed to it also. Now, when you teach the value of being a part of a church family, you need to explain that the word church is used two different ways in the New Testament. First, it is used in a universal sense, the church of God, which refers to every believer who's ever lived throughout history, on every continent, in every country, at any point in time. That is the universal church, the invisible church, as some have called it. But that's only used that way two or three times in the entire New Testament. Most of the times when you see the word church used in the New Testament, it is referring to a local family of believers. The church that meets in this house, the church that meets in this city, the church in Philippi, the church in Corinth, the church that met in Dorcas's house, and places like that. It's referring to a specific congregation. And we all need to find a family. Once you become a part of the universal church, all Christians, you need to find a local church family. Now, there are really three parts to the Christian life. And to be all that God wants you to be, you need to be involved in all three parts of the Christian life. The first part is believing. The Bible says in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And of course, you know that believing is how you become a part of God's family. But it's not just a matter of believing. The Bible says we're also part of the Christian life is belonging to a family. The Bible says you belong in God's household with every other Christian. God never meant for you to go through life just on your own. God meant for you to have others in the family of God helping you. This is called fellowship. It's the support that you need to make it in your Christian life. The third part of the Christian life is becoming. And you'll be doing that the rest of your life. You become what God intends for you to be. The Bible says, from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him should become like his son. In Romans 8:29. God wants us to grow up and become part of all that he wants us to be. Now, what are the benefits of being part of a local church family? Let me just give you several. In the first place, it identifies me as a genuine believer. When I identify myself with other Christians, I'm saying I'm not ashamed of saying that I'm a Christian. I'm proud to identify myself as part of the family of God. In the second place, it provides me with a spiritual family to support and encourage me. And we all need support. The Bible says that we are to bear each other's burdens. We are to encourage each other. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but gather together, and don't give up the habit of meeting together, because the Christian life is a part of belonging. Number three, a church family gives me a place to discover and develop my spiritual gifts in ministry. It's a place where you can use your gift of teaching, your gift of service, your gift of hospitality, the gift of giving, and the gift of leadership. All of these are to be done in the church family. And then number four, when I join a church family, it places me under the spiritual protection of godly leaders. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 17, that pastors and church leaders are to watch over the souls of those who are under their care in a church family. And then a very important reason, becoming a part of a church family helps me to have the accountability that I need to grow. Did you know that over 50 times in the New Testament, the phrase one another is used? The Bible says we are to love one another. We are to care for one another. We are to greet one another. We are to encourage one another. We are to support one another. We are to counsel one another. And on, pray for one another. Over 50 times these one another phrases are used. This is the mutual ministry of believers to believers. We are to take care of each other. And through the accountability and responsibility of being a part of a church, we're able to grow. Now, these are many of the benefits that we need to share with people when they are waiting. Maybe they've become a Christian, but they haven't become a part of the church yet. We need to share these benefits with them. A third thing you need to do to move people from just attending worship to actually being a member and making a commitment to the body of Christ is to develop a plan. Develop a plan to welcome members into your church family. Now, every church is unique. Just like my thumbprint is unique and no one else has my thumbprint, every church has its own unique thumbprint. It has a unique history. Your church has a unique culture, a unique growth rate. And so because of that, your plan will be different for welcoming members into your church than other churches. And there are some questions you need to ask yourself that will help you decide what your plan should be. Let me give you some of these questions. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 20, verse 18, make plans by seeking advice. And here's some advice I want to give you. Questions that you need to ask about being a part of a church. You need to ask, as the church leaders, what does God expect from the members of His church? And maybe you can study the New Testament together and answer that question and make a list of the things that you think God expects are required of church members, being a part of the family of God. What do we expect from the people in our church right now? You need to ask, what kind of people are in our congregation right now? And what are their needs? What are their interests? How can we make being a part of this church family more meaningful? You can ask, how can we ensure that members feel loved and cared for? That every person has their needs being met? What services could we offer our members? And how could we add value to what we already offer to the people in our church? If you'll just let your mind be creative and you ask the Holy Spirit to give you new ideas, He will. And you will find ways that you can help the members of your church. I know churches that provide all kinds of different services for the members in their church. Everything from classes for children to providing meals for the sick, to clothes for the poor, and on and on. There are many, in my own church, we have over 150 different ministries of ways that we try to take care of the members' needs in our church family. So ask those questions as you decide what your plan will be for helping people feel a part. Now, you need to realize that when people come to your church, after they become Christians, they have their own set of questions. Just because they've accepted Christ does not mean that they're going to automatically join into the family of God in your particular congregation. They want to know about five things before they will become a part of your family. First question, when a member or a person is considering becoming a member of your church, comes to your church and they're wondering, should I make this my church family? Should I make this church my church home? The first question they ask is, do I fit here? That is the question of acceptance. Do I fit here? Now, the best way to make sure that people fit in your church is to start small groups. We'll talk about this many times in future sessions, that you need to start groups that people feel like their needs are met, that they can be prayed for. You don't have to know everyone in a church to feel like it's your church family, but you do have to know somebody. You have to know 5 or 6 or 10 people and feel like that's going to be my church family so that they can really have a place to feel a part. The second question they ask is, does anybody want to know me here? Does anybody want to know me? This is the question of friendship. People are not just looking for a friendly church. They're looking for friends. They want to have people who will care about them. And so you have to create opportunities for people to develop relationships within your church. That doesn't happen by accident. Create events. Create activities where people get to know each other. You may even want to let people put their name on a tag and so they could wear the name so people could learn the names of each other. A third question is, am I needed? That is the question of value. People want to join a church when they know they can make a contribution with their lives. Am I needed? They want to feel like they're making a difference. And so you need to show how your church needs them and could use them in a place of ministry in the body of Christ, that we're all important and we're all needed. And then the fourth question is, what is the advantage of joining, of being a part of this church family? That's the question of benefit. And you need to explain the biblical reasons that we just talked about for being a part of a church family, and the practical and the personal reasons. And then, of course, the fifth thing that anyone wants to know if they're going to join a church family is, what is required of me? If I become a member of this church, which is the question of expectations, what is expected of me? People have a right to know what is expected of them when they join your church family. Now, the fourth principle that you need to do in moving people into the fellowship of your family is to establish a class for new members. And in this class, you're going to explain all about your church, help them feel welcomed, help them find a place. Many studies have shown that the way people move into a church family very greatly influences how effective they are as a Christian in the years ahead. And the way they join your church will determine the effectiveness of their membership in your church family. I believe that the most important class in any church is the class you have for people who are considering becoming a part of your church family, becoming members. A strong membership class will produce a strong church. And I believe that the pastor ought to teach at least part of this class. He could share it with other church leaders, but I think the pastor should teach at least part of it so that they can hear your vision, your heart, your love for the people, what you're committing to do for them, what you expect of them, and what they can expect of you. When you have a membership class, you need to explain things like, what is the church? And you can explain that the church is a family, the church is a flock, the church is a fellowship, the church is a body of Christ. And there are very important truths behind each of these symbols in the Bible. You can explain the five purposes of the church, of worship and evangelism and discipleship and ministry and fellowship, and how that God wants us to have all five of these purposes, not only as purposes of our church, but as the purposes of our lives. And then, of course, you want to explain the requirements to be a part of your church family and the responsibilities of being a part of your church family. Share your vision for the church and how you expect it to grow and you want it to reach people in your village or in your town or in your city. And then you need to explain how people can get involved and how they can serve in some ministry area and what they need to do now that they are a member. We have a class in our church that I teach every month. It's taught on a Sunday afternoon from 3 o'clock in the afternoon till about 7:30 It's a four and a half hour class, and we have a free meal that we serve a meal in between. And in that class, our membership class, class 101 is what we call it at our church, we explain all these things that I've just mentioned to you. A fifth thing that you need to do is to develop a membership covenant. What is that? A membership covenant. A covenant is an agreement between all of the members of the church as to what they commit to, committing to God and committing to each other. There is a biblical basis for having a covenant of commitment between all the members in your church. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 5, Paul mentions two different types of commitments. He says, first, they gave themselves to the Lord, and then, by God's will, they gave themselves to us. Now, notice the two kinds of commitments. First, you commit yourself to Christ. That's becoming a Christian. And then you commit yourself to other Christians to becoming a part of a local church family. And this is what fellowship is all about. At Saddleback Church, the church I pastor, we have four requirements for membership. First, you must have given your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and made that public commitment. Second, you must be baptized as an expression of your commitment to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, commanded the church, go into all the world, make disciples, and it said, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit. So we're just doing what the Holy Spirit commands us Jesus commanded us in the Great Commission. The third is to complete our membership class, which, as I told you, a 4.5 hour class. And you only have to take it one time, and it's taught every month, so I teach it 12 times a year. And then the fourth requirement is they sign the membership covenant of our church. Now, what is a membership covenant? It is a covenant or a commitment between people. It says, this is what we commit to do together. I'd like to share with you the covenant of my church that all of our members agree on. We've had about 8,000 or 9,000 people have signed this covenant in our church over the years. Let me read it to you. Having received Christ as my Lord and Savior, and being baptized, and being in agreement with Saddleback's statement, strategy, and structure, I now feel led by the Holy Spirit to unite with the Saddleback Church family. In doing so, I commit myself to God and to the other members to do the following. And this is what they commit to. First, I will protect the unity of my church by acting in love toward other members, by refusing the gossip, and by following the leaders. You know, gossip destroys more churches than anything else when people tell other people about problems. Gossip is when you share information and you're neither part of the problem nor part of the solution. And the Bible calls that sin. And so we insist that when people become a part of our church family, that they promise not to gossip, to talk badly about other members in the church family. They have to love the other members. They commit to loving. Number two, I commit to sharing the responsibility of my church by praying for its growth, by inviting the unchurched to attend, and by warmly welcoming those who are new to our church family. And so they share in the responsibility of the church. The third commitment is, I will serve the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts and talents, by being equipped to serve by my pastors, and by developing a servant's heart. So they make a commitment that they will serve. At Saddleback, we say every member must be in service, and you don't join the church without saying, I will serve in some ministry of the church. And four, I will support the testimony of my church by attending faithfully, by living a godly life, and by giving regularly. Now, this is the membership covenant that our congregation has put together. I want to encourage you to study your Bible, to pray, and come up with a membership covenant for your church. You will find that when you ask people to make a major commitment, you will get a greater response than if you don't ask for any commitment at all. People want to be challenged. People want to give their lives to something that is meaningful. They want their lives to count, and they want to be a part of something that really matters. So in your church, if you develop a membership covenant and you have people sign that, then you will know exactly who's a part of the church family and who isn't. Another important thing to do as a part of building the fellowship in your church is to create opportunities to build relationships. Create opportunities to build relationships. As I've already said, you don't have to know everyone in a church to feel like it's your family, but you do have to know someone. And I would encourage you to develop small groups, to have meals together. This is a biblical thing. They ate meals together, the Bible says, in the Bible. And to share with each other, to care for each other, to do fun things together, play games together. Create events and activities where people get to know each other. The fastest way to deepen the relationships in your church is to get your people to go away for a day or two for a camp or a retreat where they go away together to a mountain or to the ocean or to a private spot where you can spend 24 hours or 48 hours together and really build those relationships and come closer to each other. Why am I talking about this? Because the Bible says, "By this shall all men know you're my disciples, that you have love for one another." And as Christians, if we really develop strong relationships, we act like a family, we support each other like a family, we care for each other as a family, then the world will take notice. In my church, we have many ministries that care for the members of the family. One man came and said, "I am a carpenter." And he said, "I want to do free carpentry repair for anyone in our church. We will help fix homes and places like that, just to help the family." And we had another man who came and he started a ministry. He said, "We will help take care of cars. We will repair those who have automobiles." And we had other people who came and said, "We will help take care of the children when parents have to go to market or when parents are in the hospital, and we'll take care of the children." And by doing this, as we help each other, it is a wonderful witness to the world about the love and commitment of the family of God. A seventh thing you can do to move people from just being attenders to being members is to start small groups and have them all the time, meeting in homes, meeting in open spaces. They could meet in parks. They could meet in the mountains. They can meet at businesses, different places. And the more small groups that you start, the more your relationships will begin developing. The Bible tells us in Acts 5:42, it says they met daily in the temple courts and from house to house. Listen to this. In the Bible, they met daily in the temple courts and from house to house. Two kinds of meetings are in the real biblical church. First, what we call the temple courts meetings. That's where you get together as the whole body of Christ. And you probably do this in your church on Sunday, where you get together and fellowship every member together. And that's wonderful. But it also says they met daily from house to house. From house to house. Because in the houses, they could have the personal care and concern for each other. Then, one last thing that I want to share with you is make the members of your church feel special. Help them feel valued. Help them feel a part of the family. When you welcome people into your church, when somebody becomes a Christian and they're baptized, if you're able to do this, make up a little certificate and give it to them that they may keep that says, "You are now a member of our church family." One of the things we do in our church is we have someone take a picture, a photograph of every person when they are baptized. And we have a little certificate that says, "You were baptized on this date, and here's the picture of your baptism being standing with your pastor." And we give that to them. Then we hold banquets or meals in honor of the new members. And we welcome them by serving a meal. And we invite them to stand up and share their testimonies. If you will do some of these things, you will find that the people want to be committed to your church. And they will grow as Christians. And they will also invite others to come be a part of your church family.